LeBron's won championships, been to 8 straight finals. You think Rob and I are not going to ask him? No, we're going to definitely ask him his opinion because he knows those players better than us.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter as always at @RedRock_Beeble. Very, very quiet day on the free agency front today, so very little to talk about there, but we will go through and recap day 4 of Las Vegas Summer League action for you. So, Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
The only real free agency news we had today concerned the San Antonio Spurs with Bryn Forbes, who was a restricted free agent, agreeing to a 2-year deal. As of recording, no monetary amount has been reported. So, yeah, I would imagine it's going to be a pretty small amount there for Forbesy. With Derek White ascending, with Danny Green returning, Pat Mills still around. I don't really believe in Forbes as a fantastic player, even an NBA quality player. So this doesn't really move any sort of needle here at all. But an interesting report that did come out from Shams Charania about Davis Bertans. Yesterday, the report was that the Spurs had re-signed Bertans for 4 years and $20 million. Shams came out today and said that, no, it's a 2-year deal for $14.5 million. So more money per year. Yes, $7 million a year here for Bertans, but only 2 years. And the 2 years makes a little bit more sense. Bertans has been solid, but I didn't really see the Spurs locking him in for 4 years. And this new report from Shams says that it will just be the 2 seasons. So regardless, he's back with the Spurs. Just the details of that contract are a little bit different. The other reports we've got are about Carmelo Anthony. The Thunder are potentially looking at trade opportunities, not in order of him to go play for another team, but a situation where he can go to that team and get bought out perhaps from them. Some weird scenarios. He's getting permission to talk with other teams. The Rockets, the Heat are the names that have been brought up. The Sixers have been mentioned in the Lakers as well. So we still don't know the exact scenario where Carmelo Anthony is going. Some interest on the Marcus Smart front, reports that the Sacramento Kings and perhaps the Brooklyn Nets are looking at offering him an offer sheet. So that's something to pay attention to. Still no news on Clint Capela as well as a restricted free agent. And there are a few other restricted guys out there as well. But Capela and Smart are the two main ones for us to pay attention to. But as soon as we hear information on those two guys, we will discuss it on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast. Let's talk about Summer League now. And there was quite a few big performances on day 4 of Las Vegas Summer League. But I'm going to go with Chetty Osman of the Cleveland Cavaliers as the best performance of the day. 25 points with 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. He was very impressive, and he has been impressive through Summer League so far. He didn't do a huge amount last season on the Cavs, and that makes sense given the players that were around. But he's averaging 20 points here in Vegas, only shooting 21% on threes, but 8 boards, 4.5 assists, 2.5 steals, and a block. And there's a massive opportunity for him at small forward. Currently, the small forward depth chart consists of him. Now, you can put Kyle Korver there as a small forward as well. There's J.R. Smith, there's Jordy Clarkson, Rocket Rodney Hood if he comes back. But there's no one really there who is a standout option, and Osman should be in for a significantly larger role than what he saw last season for the Cavs, where he played just 11 minutes per game, did start 12 games, only averaged 4 points, had some weird shooting splits, 59% from 2, 57% from the free throw line. That's weird. 37% from 3. Your numbers were okay in a per 36 basis. Decent rebounding, good steal numbers. Those percentages are a bit wonky though, and his advanced numbers didn't look spectacular, but in a real big positive for him, in his 672 minutes that he played, the team was a plus 3.4. So that's something, I guess, that he can hang his hat on, and people should get a little bit interested in what Osman can do, as he has a real opportunity to be a starter for the Cavs next season. Now, his first full season in a regular role, or his last full season in Turkey for Anadolu Efes, he played 70 games over there, 22 minutes across the BSL and EuroLeague, averaged 10.5 with an assist, over a steal, and shot a more reasonable 76% on his free throw. So that's a more reasonable expectation there. 37% on his threes and was decently efficient from the field as well, going 46%. So that's an idea of what he was able to do in his time over in Turkey a couple of years ago. Last season, it's hard to get a full gauge on what all of that means for Chetty, just because of the presence of LeBron James, obviously changing the roles of lots of players on that team. But we can expect decent steals. The passing's been okay, and someone's going to have to take up that slack in Cleveland. Decent rebounder, hit some threes. He could be a sneaky end of the draft option. And he's really starting to show out here in Las Vegas, which is exactly what you want these guys to do with a year of NBA experience under their belt. You want them to come in and be able to be dominant, and that's exactly what Chetty has been here in Vegas. Let's look at some other notable performances across day four of Vegas Summer League. We'll start with the Pelicans and the Pistons game. My man Shek Diallo dropped in 25 points. Yes, got to the line eight times, had six boards, had a steal. It's going to be hard for him to get regular minutes. Anthony Davis, Julius Randle, Nikola Mirotic, they're the big three in that front court for the Pelicans. Emeka Okafor's around, and hopefully Diallo in his third season is able to overtake Okafor now and be that fourth big. And if Davis is hurt, if Randle is hurt, if Mirotic is hurt, there should be an opportunity for him to at least get himself 20 minutes per night, which gives him that top 200 sort of upside. Another strong game from Trevon Blewett. I think he's a real opportunity to make the Pelicans opening day roster, and they need these scoring guard type players. So he is a really deep league interesting guy who's going to be available in pretty much every single format. So Trevon Blewett, someone to watch, as is Walt Lemon Jr., who played for the Pelicans a little bit last season, had 14 points with 7 assists and 3 steals here, and he has played very well in Vegas. So just a couple of names who, for you, the real deeper league guys of you who are out there, just names to keep an eye on. Tony Carr is struggling a little bit, and I don't really love him as a player. On the Pistons side of things, Henry Allinson continues to chuck. He had 13 points, 10 rebounds, but surprisingly 7 assists and 2 steals. Still cannot hit anything in terms of his threes. 1 of 5 from 3, but he clearly has the green light. Brucey Brown and Kyrie Thomas, their 2 second round picks, both scored 12 points in this game. Nothing spectacular from either of them, but I think they've got a chance. At least one of them has a chance to be a rotation guy. And I think they're interesting, deeper league, long-term players for dynasty type formats. I don't mind either of those guys. I think there's a little bit there with both of them. The Raptors and the Thunder, my man, the Jedi.
Hello there.
OG Anunoby, 19 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, and that is 4 blocks through 3 Summer League games from the Jedi, and we know that that is the key for him to become a top 100 player. I love him in Dynasty Leagues. He's really starting to show something here. He showed he can stay on the court as an elite-level defender, and the offensive stuff will come. Malachi Richardson's also put together 2 back-to-back strong games here, 17 points with 3 rebounds and a steal. He's unlikely to be a contributor, though, for this team. And shout out to a guy by the name of Giddy Potts. It's just an excellent name. He had 15 points off the bench in 15 minutes, and I just love the fact that his name is Giddy. On the Thunder, Rashawn Thomas, a guy that has put up some numbers in Vegas before and for this Thunder team before, and in preseason, I believe he's played for them too. Another big game, 17 and 12 with a steal. He's not going to make an impact on this roster, of course, but he's a name to watch just in case he does get signed for a 10-day somewhere. Kevin Hervey had his best performance, 12 points, while PJ Dozier, 17, 6, and 3, and he was around this team as a two-way guy last year. Terry Ferguson continues to just be terrible. 8 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. And you can say that Summer League means nothing. I don't believe that Summer League means nothing. I think that we shouldn't overreact to one poor performance or some excellent performances, but it does mean something, especially as a second-year guy. Ferguson is struggling. He didn't play at all in Orlando last season because of contractual issues with FIBA, but he should be doing way more than this. For a guy that started on the Thunder team for games last season and had a breakout performance against the Lakers, didn't do much else apart from that, he needs to be doing more than what he's doing. He just can't hit his shots. He's passive. He's not doing anywhere near enough, and it's a little bit worrying for his overall development. MC Hamidou Diallo, it was solid here, 6 points with 2 rebounds. He's had 1 strong game, 2 subpar games. Again, Kentucky, benefit of the doubt, does go to MC Hamidou. But we're talking really deep league guys. But Abrines, Ferguson, Robertson, these are the guys in his position. It's hardly a massive, massive group of names who are significantly strong. So if MC Hamidou is able to step up in a couple of years, there is an opportunity there for him. He'll just be someone for us to watch develop over the coming seasons. Let's have a look now at the next bunch of games. Let's look at the Indiana Pacers. They took on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Aaron Holiday, 12 points, but more impressively to me here, in the shot wasn't falling, and that's what I thought he could do. I thought he could come in and hit shots. He was 1 of 7 from three, but he added 5 rebounds. He added 8 assists. He added 3 steals. He had a block. That's Drew Holiday type of numbers, really filling the box score. The 1 of 7 from three is Justin Holiday type of numbers, but it's interesting. He's been much more impressive than I thought he would be. I still don't think he's going to be a real impact guy this season, but my long-term view on him, it's improved. I'm not making massive changes to my evaluations of these guys based on 2-3 summer league games, but he's been more impressive than I anticipated. So shout out to Aaron Holiday, and he could be a rotation guy this year. I'm not quite sold on that though. TJ Leaf had a good game because he'd been struggling, so that's good to see. 20-9 with 2 blocks for Tej. Edmund Sumner, a guy who missed most of last season with a knee injury, he was a solid. While Elise Johnson, their second round pick, 16.7 rebounds. He is a decent enough fantasy contributor if he was able to get the minutes. I just don't ever think he's going to be good enough to get those minutes. We talked about Chetty already. Well, that didn't mean that to rhyme. For the Cavs. But Colin Sexton also scored well. 21 points on 17 shots, 4 assists. But this is part, I have real concerns about Sexton as a fantasy guy. I know so many people are really big on him for this season, especially. Now, if Kevin Love goes, if George Hill goes, if Jordan Clarkson goes, then sure, he's going to just your bludgeon points, much like Jordan Clarkson did his first year with the Lakers, just got numbers because no one else was around. And maybe Sexton can do that. He still has questionable shot selection, not a great distributor, not a great defender. Yeah, the steals and blocks aren't high. He's not a big assist guy or rebound guy or field goal percentage guy. And that does worry me. And if he's on a team where Hill's there, where Smith's there, where Clarkson's there, where Korver's there, Osman's there, with Kevin Love still around, he's not going to be anywhere near standard relevant this season. And I believe his long-term dynasty appeal is significantly lower than some of the guys even taken after him, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Bill Preston, their two-way guy, undrafted player. He played pretty well in this one. 21 points with 4 rebounds. Just a name to keep an eye on. And just shout out to my man, Scoochie Smith, as well there, who put up some decent enough numbers anyway. Onto the Wizards, Troy Brown. That's 3 excellent games from Troy. 23 points with 8 rebounds and 2 assists. Actually hit a 3, and he has looked great now. The 22 shots that he took, he's never going to be doing that in a regular season game. But it looks like he is going to be able to slot into the rotation pretty much immediately. That doesn't mean great things for Tomas Satoransky. And of course, Jody Meeks is out, but Brown is playing quite well. I'm still not completely sold on him, but like Aaron Holiday, my impression of him has improved significantly from draft night to now. If that shot can come around, then he does have that ability. I'm just not sure that how well his numbers are going to translate for fantasy, but he was good. As was my man Tom Bryant. 16-12, a steal, 2 blocks. Mahinmi, Dwight Howard, Jason Smith, they're all ahead of him. I think Smith's going to get waived, and I think Bryant can be a usable backup center in the NBA in a couple of years' time, maybe even this year. And I think he's got top 150 potential, much like a Bill Hernan Gomez. If you give him 20 minutes, he'll be in it, or a Kylo Quinn sort of a guy. He can produce numbers that can be usable, even in, say, 16-team leagues in a backup-type role. He was strong, and Devin Robinson was as well. This is what Terrence Ferguson should be doing. 22 points for Devin, 2 rebounds, a steal, a block. Taking advantage as a second-year guy, really strong games from Robinson, and a guy who can be pushing for a regular rotation spot at some point. Also, shout-out to a guy by the name of Scrub, Philip Scrub. Just having that name and being a Scrub as well is it's absolutely excellent. And also Jalen Ross. Not Jalen Rose, Jalen Ross. Good name. Let's go on to the Sixers side of things. Jonah Bolden had 10-9. But probably the best performance of the day goes to Chris McCullough. 20 points and 8 rebounds with 3 blocks. Now, McCullough was a first-round pick of the Brooklyn Nets a couple of years ago, coming off an ACL injury out of Syracuse, and he was a guy that had showed significant potential, I believe, in college. And I was interested in him just, a few years out from the ACL to see what he'd be able to produce, because he had a 3-point shot, he was able to block shots, rebound, and score relatively efficiently, and all those things, if they all come together, they look good for fantasy. Now, he's been shithouse in the NBA. He had a stint with Brooklyn. He had a stint with Washington. He just hasn't put it together. He is a couple of years removed from that ACL injury, and this is a massive, massive sign from him. I'm not saying to read anything into this. He's not going to have any impact on this Sixers team, but he's just a name to keep an eye on, as is Cam Oliver, who had 9 and 6. DRC, Zaire Smith, 1 of 9 from the field. That's ugly. Still, spectacular defense. A steal and a block. Had 3 assists. The shooting's going to take a while. He does have significant upside. Probably top 50, top 40 upside in about 3 to 4 years' time, but it is a long way away for DRC, Zaire Smith. While Furkan Korkmaz has dropped 40 in the first game and then had 1 point in this one. 0 of 9 from the field for Furkan Korkmaz. The next bunch of games we'll take a look at. The Charlotte Hornets and the Boston Celtics. Miles Bridges got it together. Struggled in game one, improved in game two, really good in game three. 20 and 7 with a steal and a block. Going to find it hard enough to get minutes this season. And I prefer McCall Bridges as a dynasty prospect, but Miles does still have some value. While Bill Hernan Gomez had 17 and 11 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. He's not going to be this productive in the regular season because of Zeller, because of Biombo, but he is absolutely someone to look at in standard leagues for this upcoming season. Devontae Graham continues to be solid. 8 points, 6 assists, but 6 turnovers is not great, but he has been solid enough. He's a third string point guard now with Tony Parker in the fold. Parker's not around forever. Kemba Walker's not around forever. Yeah, Graham's a sneaky chance of being a starting point guard at some point in the next 4 seasons. Just someone to keep somewhat of an eye on. For the Celtics, Jabari Bird was good again, 16, 3, and 5. It seems unlikely to me he'll be back on this Celtics team, but he's shown enough that another team should take a look at him. Ojeleye and Yabesele both scored fairly well. 13, 7, and 3 for Shemi. 14, 8, and 2 for Gershon with 2 blocks. So solid performances from both of those guys. Well, Jared Utoff, shout out to Dean Utoff, 16 and 6 for Jared. A guy that, again, one of those players, someone to watch at end of season 10-day deals. He can come in and he can actually produce numbers. So he is just one of those names to pay some level of attention to. Not a lot, but some. The Golden State Warriors and the Dallas Mavericks. There's just so little to see on this Warriors team when Jordan Bell is not playing. Marcus Derrickson was coming off a big game and he did nothing. Josh Magette, who played for the Hawks last season as a two-way guy, he had 10 points, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Kendrick Nunn, a guy who I think might be able to have some contribution this year, had 10 points as well. Jacob Evans, their first-round pick, still looks passive. 4 points, 3 rebounds. He's not going to be a contributor for at least a couple of seasons. Might be a rotation guy immediately, but think like someone like Pat McCaw, who comes in, plays 20 minutes, and just doesn't touch the ball because of the other players on this team. He's not going to be too much of a contributor straight away. On the Mavericks side of things, shout out to Mitch Creek. The Aussie had 13 and 7 in the starting lineup with a steal. He struggled a bit at summer league last season, but he's played a lot better this year. He could be looking to find a way to get a training camp invite and maybe turn himself into the Joe Ingles of this new generation of Australian basketball. So keep an eye on Mitch. Nothing's too spectacular from him. The burner, Jalen Brunson, had 9 points with 8 assists, while the golf ball, Ray Spalding, had 8 and 9. Very little to see with any of those guys, but good defensive stuff from Kostas Antetokounmpo. 2 steals and 3 blocks. That's what we want to see from Kostas. Yeah, I think it's unlikely he makes the roster or the rotation, but those defensive numbers, they're obviously impressive enough that it gets him noticed by being able to do those things. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Denver Nuggets. Sterling Brown was excellent here. 27 and 7 with 3 assists, 11 of 18 from the field. I think Sterling Brown's already a better player than Tony Snell. Whether he plays those minutes over Snelly remains to be seen. You've got Matty Dellavedova, you've got Malcolm Brogdon coming back as well. So minutes are going to be a little bit tough for Sterlo, but he is a guy, I think, that in a couple of years' time, guys like Dellavedova will be gone, Snell might be gone, Brogdon may have moved on. I can see Brown having a 2 to 3 year starting period on this team as a solid enough scorer who contributes in boards and gets some steals. DJ Wilson, good to see him playing well, 18 and 6. And my man Christian Wood, 16 and 6 with a steal and a block. Wood is definitely someone that I'm keeping my eye on if he gets signed by another team. The Denver Nuggets, Monty Morris, I really like this guy, 26 and 8 with a steal. I don't think they've got a way to get him onto their roster, which is a problem. He's a two-way guy. They don't have a backup point guard. But if they make a move and waive someone or trade out Ken Fareed for no other players, I think they could upgrade Morris and he could slot in as a really nice 18-minute backup point guard who yields you 4 assists. And that can have value. So he's a real name to keep an eye on. Shout out to Devon Akun-Purcell as having an excellent name. He also scored 18 points. Well, my man, a guy that I really liked in last year's draft, Vlatko Kanchar, had 13-2-2 with two steals, has played very, very well here. He won't be over this season onto the roster, but he is someone to watch out for as a, you know, a guy that can maybe be a 20-minute small forward wing guy for this team in coming years. So he is someone to pay attention to. I've liked what I've seen from Vlatko Kanchar so far here in Vegas. The next game we take a look at, the Orlando Magic and the Phoenix Suns.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mo Bamba only had 4 points in 23 minutes, but had two steals and five blocks in that time with five rebounds. He's still a real work in progress, still not a sure thing, and he's not going to play tons of minutes, but he'll be the immediate backup center on this team. Yes, Ken Birch is still around, but Bamba should be playing 18 minutes a night and could very easily be like a Jakob Poeltl was last season, come in and block 1.6, 1.7 shots in limited minutes and have value there. Melvin Frazier had three steals. His contributions are going to be defensive only. Well, John Isaac, 10.6 boards, one steal, two blocks. I think he's going to be the best player on this team. I've said that consistently. I think he's going to be, they're going to play him at the three this year. So that's bad news for Terry Ross and John Simmons. He's not going to play exclusively at the three. I'm not sure how it's all going to work. And he's going to be the primary backup four. I think we'll get 20 to 24 minutes out of John Isaac. That's probably not going to be enough for standard leagues. But if you really need defensive stats, he's going to bring them. Wes Iwundo was pretty okay here as well, and that's just, you know, damning with faint praise. 8-8, two steals, one block. It just wasn't a great performance from the Magic. They scored only 53 points. But Iwundo and Isaac put up some okay names. My man Troy Copan only had 6 points with two assists. But again, just a name to really watch out for. On the Suns, DeAndre Ayton had 17 and 13 with a block. He is doing what he needs to do here at Summer League. I'm still not sold on him. I still wouldn't have taken him as the number one pick. He will be a standard league guy this season. He will have his struggles. He hasn't had any big block games or really shown much defensively to make me think everything was wrong about the scouting reports on his defense, but he's doing enough and he's going to be, I don't know, athletic Nikola Pekovic maybe. Think of a guy like that who scored well, efficiently, got rebounds, but didn't do much in those defensive stats and didn't get anything in terms of assists. And I can see Ayton being that guy, but to me, that really limits his upside as never being a top 30, top 40 sort of guy, maybe top 50 is where he goes. Good to see Dragan Bender have a better game, 11 and 8. He's going to be still around on this team. I haven't given up. He is only 20, but he has struggled. Shaq Harrison did brilliantly, 10.6 assists and 5 steals. Sorry, 11 points. And those defensive numbers continue to be great. Well, Josh Jackson continues to be shit house. 9 points, one rebound, one assist, and three steals. I remember at the end of last season, I said something that I didn't really believe in Jackson as a star level player, and someone on the Suns subreddit found it and put it up there, and then, you know, I just cut consistent personal attacks. What do you know? What does a bloody Aussie know? Just shit like that. I don't think Josh Jackson's gonna be that good. I had him below Isaac, below Dennis Smith in last year's draft. I don't know. He had a nice run at the end of last season when everybody was injured and he was just getting tons of usage, but there's a chance that McCall Bridges is already better than him. Now that sounds stupid saying that when Bridges went for 0 points in 17 minutes, but he also had two steals and a block and four rebounds in that time also. Jackson just looks lost at the moment. Maybe he can get it fixed. But I think there's a real component to knuckleheadedness, which Jackson has a real, has had an issue with. And I get the feeling that there is, I don't know, I'm just concerned about him. I'm just not sure he's ever going to develop into a very, very good player or even a good player at this point, but still has some value, but it has not been a good summer league for Joshy Jackson. Let's go on to the last group of players and the Brooklyn Nets. Finally, we had someone that was interesting play for them, and that's Jared Allen, who had 26 minutes, 8 points, 12 boards, 5 blocks. He has got top 50 upside this season. He will be overdrafted in some leagues because some people love looking at a guy and go, well, he's got top 50 upside, therefore I must pick him at 40. That's the wrong move to me, but he can very easily get there with no doubt about that. He looks good. He's in for a big year. I've got no doubt about that. But just watch the value on him. Well, Sean Dawson had his second strong game, 14 points with 3 assists and a steal. More just a name to pay attention to. Also, shout out to Yuta Watanabe for having a great name. He also scored 14 points in 26 minutes. On the Timberwolves, Kato Bates Diop, another strong game, 11 and 6, but it's the 4 steals that got me interested, as did Emil Jefferson's 5 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 blocks. No real role for Jefferson on this Timberwolves team, but as I highlighted in the G League show last week, he's in someone you've got to pay attention to. Josh Okogie, 11-5-4, 3 steals. I feel like he's going to be an Andre Iguodala type fantasy contributor, just contributing right across the board. And that gives you something to pay attention to. So he was pretty solid again. But it's the last game of the day that really got me interested. The Clippers and the Rockets. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander looked excellent. 25-5-4, 2 steals and a block. Pat Beverley's still around. As of this point, Milos Teodosic is still around. Avery Bradley's still around. Lou Williams is still around. But in next year, is Shai the starting point guard? I think it's a pretty significant chance. A pretty significant chance. And I think Shai, while he's far from a guarantee, I think he's got top 50 fantasy upside. I think he's like a DeJounte Murray, but better offensively. I think he's got that ability. Someone to watch for. Jerome Robinson had probably his best game, 14 points with 5 rebounds. I don't really believe in him too much, while Sindarius Thornwell had 13 points, a decent enough game, but really, really strong production from Shai. Vincey Hunter also had 20 points with 8 rebounds. He played a little bit for the Grizzlies last season, doesn't have a massive amount of upside, but I'm massively into what Gilgeous-Alexander is doing. The other guy I'm massively into is De'Anthony Melton. I cannot believe he slipped to pick number 46. It was nonsense at the time. Continues to be nonsense now. 26 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. He's not going to get playing time this season, but he could be a part of a trade that goes somewhere else. He has got, I think, top 60 upside. His shot has improved, 5 of 10 from 3, 9 of 16 from the field. I think he is going to be a massive star. I think he's going to be a massive steal at that draft position. And he was picked 46. In any dynasty league, he is a comfortable top 30 guy, and there is a ton of value. Joe Chi also looked good, almost fouled out, had 9 fouls, 5 blocks, 12 points, 8 rebounds, strong from Joe, while Trayvon Duval bounced back and dropped in 12. Also, Vince Edwards finally had a good game, 20 points and 8 rebounds as a second round pick. But the guy we want to pay attention to here is De'Anthony Melton, who is absolutely carving things up at Las Vegas Summer League. That wraps up all the Summer League action. What I'm going to do now, though, Zach LaVine, we know, the Chicago Bulls matched the Zach LaVine contract that he signed with the Sacramento Kings. So we have got a clip of the guys at Locked On Bulls, Jordan and Matt, discussing the LaVine signing. So I'll leave you with that. If you want to hear more about LaVine and the Bulls and anything Bulls related, make sure you are checking out Locked On Bulls, and I'll be back after I play this clip.
What's up, Locked On NBA fans? This is Jordan Malley and Matt Peck with you here from Locked On Bulls. Just touching on the breaking news of Zach LaVine's re-signing with the Bulls after the Sacramento Kings offered him an offer sheet of 4 years, $78 million. This coming over the weekend on Friday night, the Bulls were quick to match Zach LaVine. This has been a conversation that Matt and I have had multiple times, and it's almost a daily occurrence over the last 2 months over at Locked On Bulls. And so we just wanted to give you guys our quick reaction of what we think of it and maybe what Bulls fans are reacting to it too. So overall, Matt, this was kind of expected. Obviously, the money was a little bit more than we both initially thought, but what did you overall think of this deal and what it does for the Bulls going forward?
Yeah, what's up, Locked On NBA Nation? Jordan, I think leading up to this, I was trying to be optimistic that the Bulls and LaVine could come to a team-friendly deal, because looking at the market this summer across the league, I didn't see that many teams that had, of the small amount of them, that had the money to offer LaVine close to a max deal or even something as significant as 20 mil per over several seasons. I just didn't see him getting those offers from anywhere. And the wild card, always the wild card, the Sacramento Kings, who knows what that team, what that front office is doing. I said that was the one hang up when they were rumored to be one of the teams that would be interested, even though it didn't seem to make a lot of sense for them. Buddy Hield and Bogdanovich, two of their better players, play the same position as LaVine. I don't see why they really gave him that offer. So it's unfortunate that the Bulls were put in the position where they had to match to pay him annually a little bit more than that what they would have liked to pay him. But basically what happened here is that the Bulls used their leverage to say, we're not going to just throw this money at you like it seemed the Magic did with Aaron Gordon. They said, if you want to test the waters and go out and get a bigger offer sheet than what we think is fair, bring us an offer sheet and we'll probably match it and we want to keep you. So that's what LaVine did, and that's what the Bulls did. Logically, it all makes sense. It's just unfortunate that from the Bulls front office perspective, and I think from largely the fan base's perspective, it's a little bit of an overpay to keep him in town.
Look, I get the conversation about what Zach LaVine has done in his first 3 years, and the production level hasn't been there. He was inconsistent on his offensive side in the 25 games he played with the Bulls. But even pre-injury, people talked about his clip at 40% from shooting from three and about 45% field goal percentage overall. I look at that and I just say the Bulls were stuck. When they made the Butler trade a year ago, they knew they were going to do this. They knew that they had to do this, that his contract talk was going to be coming up and it was probably going to range from $15 to $20 million. Like, the Bulls knew that and they played the odds. They told Zach LaVine, go out and find out if you can see what offer sheets will get offered to you and what you want to sign, and we'll decide from there. Ultimately, I didn't think there was ever really a question whether or not Zach LaVine was going to return to the Bulls. And it's the same sentiment I had back in February, back in March, when Zach LaVine was playing every day, or every other day for that matter. But, and I get the argument too. Zach LaVine ranked 471st out of 521 NBA players last season with a negative 3.30 RPM, a negative 1.16 offensive RPM and a negative 2.14 in defense. So I get that. I get he was one of the least efficient NBA players over the first 3 years of his career. I get that he's one of the worst defenders as far as defensive box plus minus goes. I get all of that. But you're also paying for potential here, and the market was weird this year. So I think ultimately I'm fine with the $19.5 million, and I think it's all going to come down to effort as far as on Zach LaVine's side of the contract.
Yeah, you hope he improves, and you hope that the small sample size of him in a Bulls uniform last season turns out to be irrelevant when looking at this contract and looking at the player that he becomes over the course of this contract. Hopefully, it's a player that the Bulls do want to keep around, and hopefully by the time that he is 26 or 27, winding down the back end of this contract, we're looking back and saying, wow, that contract actually turned out to be a steal. I'm not convinced that that's going to happen, but putting yourself in the Bulls front office's shoes, they really didn't have much of a choice here. They had to match it. It made sense to match it. And now, as you said, you hope that this potential contract turns into a good contract.
One last thing, too, to touch on as far as why we feel like this LaVine deal isn't as bad as maybe some fans are reacting. And even nationally, as the NBA goes, people were laughing at this deal, saying, of course, the Bulls overpaid. I look at this from this perspective. Yeah, the Bulls have a ton of cap space next season and in 2020. And the Bulls over the last 18 months have been telling us over and over and over again, 2019, 2020, we want to be flexible with the cap. Great. My point was, what free agents and what history has told us with the Bulls if recently, over the last decade, what top free agents have come to Chicago? None. The Bulls have missed out on all top free agents coming here. 2010 with LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh, and you ended up getting Boozer. 2014 when they wanted Melo, he decided to go back to New York. Like, you talk about all these deals and all these free agents, it's great to have the cap space, but you also have to have the players to recruit, and you have to have the timeline and the history of saying, yeah, I have some trust in the Bulls being able to go out and sign one free agent, one top superstar free agent, two superstar free agents. So I look at that and it's like, I don't have that much trust in the Bulls front office to draw. It's a big time free agent, a franchise changing player. So I'd rather take the risk. And sure, $19.5 million a year for the next 4 years might seem like a lot right now, but I'd rather way risk it on a 23-year-old that has, before pre-injury, had potential superstar ability. So we'll see what happens with that. But I think that's a point that shouldn't be overblown as far as what Bulls fans feel like and what has happened as far as history goes and tells us over the last decade in free agency.
Yeah, well, you're also asking a fan base that has a tendency to overblow things to not overblow this thing. So in due time, hopefully we can look at this contract as not the huge mistake that a significant portion of the fan base thinks it is.
For more information on the Bulls, and if you want to stay up to date with our reaction and maybe Bulls fans' reaction, head over to Locked On Bulls. You can subscribe on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, anywhere you find podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck. Once again, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck here from Locked On Bulls.
All right. So that's the guy's thoughts on the Zach LaVine signing. You know my thoughts on the Bulls matching that deal. I think he does have a chance of potentially being a top 50 fantasy guy this season. especially if you are punting the field goal percentage category. He can score and he might get to a 20 point per game scorer. You know, will he rebound enough? Will he get enough steals? Will he get enough assists? They're all the questions there. So I think maybe top 50 is a little bit out of the question, but he could be a top 70 guy. Just with that scoring ability and hitting 2+ threes per game, but I don't really like him long term, and I don't like that deal that the Bulls signed him to. But there will be more fantasy value in LaVine this season than there was last year, when he was basically unownable because of just how shithouse he was coming off that ACL injury. Don't forget, guys, go and check out this podcast. Well, actually, you're already checking it out, but go and subscribe if you don't already. Do that on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or if you're watching on YouTube, smash that red box under this show here. Hit subscribe, give it a thumbs up, leave a comment as well, and don't forget, get your application in for the Red Rock Challenge Leagues. These are the Red Rock Listener Leagues, the redraft format, Roto, head-to-head, and points leagues. You can see a link in the podcast description here. You can also find it on LockedOnFantasyBasketball.com. There's a link in the show description over there as well. Go fill in your details, whether you want paid or free leagues, Roto, head-to-head, points. You want all three of them. And in the next couple of weeks, invites will be going out for those. Patreon subscribers have already got invites for the head-to-head leagues and the Roto leagues, and there will be some points invites coming out in the next couple of days as well. Follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at redrock_Beeble. And guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Magic Johnson.